Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basa, daf Kuf Mem Dalad. Begin on the fourth line down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah of the previous daf, and that is the Mishnah was describing regarding the inheritance of when there's older children and younger children, and the older children go and they work on the father's property before it's split up and divided amongst all the children. So the Mishnah said, Hishpichu is la'emtzef, they make it better, the profit margin gets divided amongst older children, although the older children are doing the work, which we explained in the previous daf, that is, they didn't really put in any effort, it's really, they just continued the process that was already from the Nechassim themselves, then they have to split it amongst all the brothers. Now, on that, says the Mishnah, Amru, but if they said, Ru'u mashenich abba, look what our father left us over, said the older brothers to the minors. Hare anu eisen v'eichen, we're going to do work, but we're going to consume the work that we're doing. So then the halach is ishbichu la'atzman. Then the increase is, the benefit goes to themselves. Where I already told in the previous Mishnah, if they put in the effort, anyway it would go to themselves. But here, even if they didn't put in the effort, but they said that we want it to be ours, it's just that the courts are lazy, no one went ahead and divided it up, what they're working with is their part, and the profit's going to go to them, even if it wasn't divided yet. So the Gemara says even more than this. Rav Safra shavik avu zuzi. Rav Safra's father left over monies. Shaklinu ovid behu iskus. He took from the monies and he went and invested the monies. And moreover, as Rashbam says, the Gemara considers that as shevach nechasim machmas nechasim, which we described this in the previous stuff, which we just mentioned before, which is that it's not that he really put in that much effort, because when he's investing in the stock, all he has to do is buy and sell. He's not planting and plowing and so on and so forth. So he's not really putting in his own effort, because if he did, automatically the shvach would be for himself. Rather, it's considered that the monies themselves are making the money. It's just that he went and bought and sold. And so says the Gemara, Asu achi tavu bedina kamei de rabba. So the brothers came along and they took their brother Rav Safra to court in front of rabba, saying, okay, so this was shvach nechasim achmas nechasim. You didn't put in any extra effort or invest from your own money. And you didn't say that you're doing it for yourself, like we were just describing, where he says ru'u mashenich abba. So therefore, that's like the halacha of the Mishnah, where it's the shvach goes le'emtza, I guess, to split amongst all the other brothers. So Amalahu, so Rabbi said to the brothers, no, Rav Safra gavar Rabbi. Rav Safra is a great person, a Talmud Chacham. Le'shavi girse b'tarach l'achrin, he wouldn't leave his learning and put an effort for other people. In other words, what Rabbi was telling them was, it's as if he said, Ru'ub mashanich lanu abad. It's almost like that case where he would have said beforehand, look what our father left over, I'm going to put an effort and consume it myself. Which from here we learn, says Rashbam, that wherever someone as great as like Rav Safra, even though he didn't say, I'm doing it for myself, if he's taking the time out to invest, it's as if he's saying he's doing it for himself, and the shvach, like Rav said, is going to go to himself, as in this case, it was only going to Rav Safra. Now, that part of the Mishnah which we were describing was talking about an older child with a younger child. Then the Mishnah said a similar type of a case of ha'isha sheshbichu es hanachasam. If the woman, if the wife, the widow, if she increases the value of the estate, there also hishpichel emtza, that's going to be, it's going to be divided amongst all the inheritors. So on that, as the Gemara, how do we even understand the case? Isha benichse yasmi ma'avidita, what is the woman doing over here, investing properties of the orphans? In other words, the widow, either she should take her ksuba and leave the estate, or what she does is that she could put an effort for the orphans, but she gets fed from the estate and her earnings go to the orphans and she shouldn't be gaining any money, which is money of the orphans. So what does it mean that the profit margin will be split amongst all of them? What do all of them? What does she have anything to do with the estate? She has no rights to it. Either she's getting fed from the estate and whatever earnings she's making is anyways not going towards going to them. Or if she's not, then she takes her ksuba and she leaves. So what is this that she's doing work with the estate? So Rabbi Yirmi, he says, it's Toma be'isha yereshes, we're talking about a woman that is an inheritor. Where Rashbam gives a few different examples. Either you could say a case where Reuven married the daughter of his brother Shimon. Then their father Yaakov passed away, and then Reuven and Shimon passed away. Where then the sons of Reuven and the daughter of Shimon, who was Reuven's wife, inherits the estate of the grandfather of Yaakov. Where there you would have a case of the woman being an inheritor. Or, for example, you could have it when it's a daughter amongst all different daughters where they're inheritors. Or you could even have a case of a daughter of a son who inherits amongst, her takes her father's place with all her uncles, just and she has the same halacha like the brothers. Or it could even be talking about a case where the husband said, I want my wife to take a portion in my estate that I'm leaving over amongst all my sons. Now, it's regarding such a case that the Mishnah was describing, if the woman goes and increases the value of the estate, if she specifies that she's doing it for herself, then it goes to herself. If she doesn't, then that profit margin, then the shvach goes le'emtza. That's what the halacha of the Mishnah is talking about. Now, that the Gemara asks, well, pshita, well, that's obvious that if we're talking about a woman that's a yereshes, so then it's essentially the same as the previous case regarding the ben hagadol, the older son. What's the chiddush in saying the case of the woman? And that says the Gemara, ma'adetem, what would you think to say? It's not normal for a woman to go and put an effort in working in the estate. So therefore, you would have thought to say that even if she didn't specify that she's doing it for herself, it's almost obvious as if she is specifying she's doing it for herself, because no woman usually puts an effort. One of the regular sons, if he's doing it, okay, so he's doing it for the company. But her, since she doesn't usually work, you would say she's doing it for herself. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that no, even though she's a woman, if she's not specifying that for herself, the shvach is going to be la'emtza, to be shared amongst all the inheritors. Now then the Mishnah continued and said, but if she said, Ru'u mashanich li ba'li, look what my husband left me over, this inheritance, harini oisib echeles, I'm going to work and consume, meaning I'm doing it from my own part and for myself. So then the shvich la'atma, then the profit is for herself. So that is the Gemara Peshida, it's also obvious. It's also the same as the previous halacha. So the Gemara, no, here there's also a chiddush. Ma'od etema, what would you think to say, kibin eshvicha la milsa, since it's a praiseworthy act that the woman has? Meaning, the amri katarcha kamayasmi, people say, wow, look at this woman, where she is putting in effort for the children, for the orphans. She's taking over her husband's role, and people are praising her. And therefore, achuli achla, we would say that she's actually forgiving and she actually retracts from what she originally said, oh, that I'm going to do and work for myself. Because people are saying, wow, look at this woman. She's such a valiant woman. She goes and she takes over. And therefore, even though she said originally it's for herself, you would think that maybe goes liyamza. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. No, if she says she's doing it for herself, she's doing it for herself. And therefore, she will get it all and it will not be shared amongst her children, the orphans. Now the Gemara continues, Amr b'chanina, which was a statement from Chanina that we had said in the previous daf going up to the top of this Amid. So the Gemara quotes another teaching from Reb Chanina. Hamasi isha lebnei gadol b'bayis. If someone marries off a woman to his oldest son in a house, kanoi, that son acquires that apartment. Now this is a takanas chachamim, which as the Gemara surely going to explain what's called the Hilchas HaBalei Taima. There's no concrete reasoning and structure in halacha to define why it is. Although, as Rashbam will explain, there are reasons why the Chachamim instituted this. And the Gemara Masechtas Gittin says that, moreover, this halacha would be told about if the father himself has another house in the same city. So therefore, he doesn't need this own apartment to live in. If he uses that apartment, that house, to marry off his son, the son doesn't only get married, he actually acquires that apartment. Now, but the Gemara qualifies as V'davka Gadol. It's only if it's the oldest. V'davka Besulin, it's only if he's marrying a virgin. And V'davka Ishta Rishon, it's only if it's his first wife. And V'davka Shesi Rishon, it's only if he's marrying this child off first. Where in such a case, with all those variables, all those ingredients, so that's very dear to him, this situation. And therefore, he's conclusive when he goes and he gives him, and he's actually acquiring to him, not only the place to get married, but to use it as his apartment. Now, the Gemara says, moreover, Peshit, it's obvious, if Yichilei Aviv, if the father designated to his son, that this first son that we're describing that's getting married, Bayis Va'aliyah, an apartment that has a second story on top of that, that Bayis Kana Lila Kana, the house where he gets married, that he acquires as an apartment, but the second story the son does not acquire because it has nothing to do with the first story. But the question is, Bayis Va'chsadra Mahu, what's halacha with an apartment that in front of the house has this type of a porch that's open up with windows? And the reason for the question is because it's through that achsadra that you come into the house. So do we say that that is secondary to the apartment, and if he's getting the bayis, he's getting the achsadra too, or not? Then the Gemara continues, and if you're going to say that when regards to when there's a bayis and achsadra, then he acquires the achsadra too, because again, the achsadra, the porch, is like secondary and it's meshubit to the bayis. But the question is, shnei batim zelif nemizema. What's halach if you have two apartments, one that's inside of the other one, meaning to get to the inner apartment where it is, you have to go through the outer apartment. What would the halacha be there? Do we say that that's the same as achsadra? That since you have to go through the outer apartment to get to the inner one, the son is getting not only the inner one, but also the outer one? Or do we say that, no, that's different, because here we're talking about two different apartments. So it's not like a secondary, like a porch is to a house. And therefore, maybe he would not get the outer one. Says the Gemara, Teku, it's not clear what the halacha is in these two cases. So the Gemara says, Meisve. The Gemara actually asks on the entire halacha of Reb Chanina. As we learned in the Braisa, it says, Yichel Aviv Bayis Ukli Bayis. If the father designated for the son to get married a house and all the utensils in that house, Klei Bayis Kana, says the Braisa, so the child acquires the chasin, the utensils of the house, but bayis loikon, the house that he does not acquire, so that clearly contradicts Allah Reb Chanina, that says that you do get the bayis. And that answers the Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Amar Birmi says, Kigayin Shahaya Oitzwe Shal Aviv Munachsham. The bayis is talking about where in the storehouse of the father was in that apartment. So that's why the son does not acquire the apartment for himself, because since the father is still using it, he stores thing over there. So that's not going to remove it from the chazak of the father, and therefore that he's not acquiring to the son in that situation where he does still utilize that apartment. And moreover, says the Gemara Nardai Amri, Afila Shevacha Deyaini, even if there's just a dovecot over there, but since the father is still utilizing that apartment, that shows he's still holding on to it and he's not being makne to the chasen for his apartment. Moreover, they say, even a vessel that's filled with fish that's fried in oil, even if he just keeps that over there, that shows that he's still holding on to it and not giving it to his son. And as the Gemara illustrates, Marzutra, Ansave Lavrei, Marzutra married off his son, and in that apartment, the Tolele Sandal, and he hung a sandal, a shoe over there to show that I'm still holding on to this and it's not being acquired to his son as an apartment. So to Ravashi Nasvi Libre, he married off his son, Vitolle Ashisha de Mishcha, and he hung a cup full of oil over there again just to show that this is still mine. I'm not being makin to you like the Takan's Chacham. Now the Gemara explains, Zama Mazutri says, Hani Klas Mili Shavin Rabban, and these three things, the rabbis considered, in other words, they made this Takana, even though it's not according to biblical law, but this was the measurement that they instituted, Kehilchas Abalai Taima, like a halacha that has no reason. What are these three halachas? Chadaha, one of them is what we were just discussing regarding if someone marries off a woman to his oldest son, which Rashbam explains, there is a rationale, there's a reason, what's called a method to the madness. It's just that the construct in halacha doesn't have legitimacy, but there is reasoning behind it. Tachakansacham was for the dignity of the chasin, where it's degrading for a person to get married to a woman and there's nowhere to live. So although in halacha, the father was never makneh to the son, but if it has all those ingredients, the chacham were misakin that the son does get apartment. Idach, the other halacha was, the Amar Behuda Mishmul, HaKaisiv Kanachasav Le'ishtai. If someone writes off all his assets to his wife, so according to the Dvat Torah, so he wrote it to her, and that's what he wrote in the document, she should get it all. But on that, say the chacham, no. Lo'asa Ela Petrapa. He only made her into the caretaker, because we testify, meaning us, the world, that the father would not want to uproot the inheritance from the sons. And this, the father's whole intention, although we don't see anything else, that's why it's called the Hilchas of Leitaima, is that his intention was only to, that the children should honor their mother, because since they have to come on to her, that's why he wrote it to her. But really, it's really still owned by the orphans, and they only made the mother into the caretaker. And Idach, the third halacha is Dama Rav, that Rav said, Mana li biyatchav. Someone says to someone else that there's a mana of mine, and that you have, meaning I gave you this deposit, you owe me this money, Tinei will plainly give it to that other person, that third party, if he does this b'maimit shloshtin in the presence of all three of them, meaning the one who has the deposit, and the one who gave him the deposit, and the recipient of the gift, the third party, so kana, the third party will acquire it just by what he told them. Which that was the Takan's Chachamim, since this is something that's very constantly done amongst people, Chacham did not require to do a full-fledged acquisition with witnesses, just if he tells him, Man Labiyatri, give it to that person, and if it's all in the presence of all three of them, that recipient will acquire it just like that. Those are the three Hilchas Sabalai Taima. There's reasons for it, but in Halacha, in the Halacha construct, it's as if it doesn't have a reason, because in Halacha, that's not how it usually is. The Gemara continues Amud Beis and continues the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding brothers that are still what's called tfusis abayis, when they didn't split up the inheritance yet, certain halachas that apply in those situations. As the Mishnah says, achan hashutfen, brothers that are partners, which as we described, because they didn't yet split up the father's inheritance, so they all share in the father's estate, shenofel echad mehen lo'umnes, if one of the brothers fell into a job, which is specifically the job of the king, as the Gemara will explain, which is, that job is because of the father's estate. Because that was the custom of the king, of the government, that they would appoint from every single house in the neighborhood, each one per month, to take the job of collecting taxes, and each house would have 1 month that job. And from all the houses of the city. So it's the father's house. It's his estate that they're picking up one of the children. So therefore, nafala emtza. So therefore, the profit that this son is going to be getting from this job, it's not really his own rights. It's still because of it's from the father's estate. And therefore, although he's doing the work, that profit is going to be split amongst all the brothers. Because it's from this job, which is coming because of Tvus Abayis, that he's getting that profit. Now, chala, if the son becomes ill, as the Gemara explains specifically due to negligence, v'nisrape, and then he gets healed, nisrape mishal atzmoi, he has to heal himself from his own money. It does not come out of Tvus Abayis. Now, the Gemara explains, Tanu in the Brayis, is high umnis, this halacha of our mission that says that if a son fell into a job, to a profession, it's l'umnis ha-melech. It's to the job from the king, and as we explained the reason, because if it actually was a different job that he fell into by himself, then of course the prophet would be it himself. It would have nothing to do with the father's estate. Tan Rabban, so similarly we learned in the Braisa, the Echem and Achanim, one of the brothers, Sheminu Gabai Oi Pulmostis, if they appointed him as someone in charge or as a policeman. So Imach Masa'achen, if it's because of the brothers, meaning the same idea we said before regarding that's the custom of the city that they take from every house one policeman according to a certain amount of time, whether for a month or a year, then Lachen, then it gets split amongst all the brothers. Imach Masa'atzmoy, if he got the job because of himself, because of he was very distinguished or because he's very smart and intelligent, then Liatzmoy, then the prophet goes to himself. Now the Gemara asks, Imach Masa'achen La'achen Pshita, well that's obvious, if he got the job because of the brothers, because it goes according to the house, so that's like the halacha of the Mishnah, that it goes to all the brothers. So the Gemara, lo yitzricha, no, it was necessary to say the chiddush of the braisa, the charev tfei, because we're talking about the brother that actually got that appointment, is very sharp. Samadu tema churva gromla, you would think that, although they usually do it per house, and it's coming from the father's estate, but in this case it's different because he's very sharp, and that's what caused him to get the appointment. Kamash Mulam, that's what telling you that, no, since it's something that's generally taken from the house, and therefore it's because of the brothers, meaning because of the family, so therefore even though he's the one that got the appointment, the prophet gets split amongst all the brothers. Tarnabon, learn the braisa. Echad min ha'achen shenotl mesayim zuz. One of the brothers that took 200 zuz, lil mei taira, lil mei umas, to go ahead and that he could have provisions to learn taira or to learn a craft. So yechad min ha'achen laimalai, the brothers could tell him, look, imata etzleinu yesh l'cha mesayim zuz. If you stay here in the house, so then you get that sustenance. You could take that money and use it because we're all sharing from the Tvus Abayis. If you're not next to us, you go away somewhere else, then you don't get food and therefore the 200 zuz that you're taking will have to come off from your portion when we end up dividing the estate. Now, that the Gemara asks, but why? Every son has a right to get fed from the estate until they divide it, so they should give him food wherever he is. Why are they saying that if he takes the money to and that he needs to provide for himself when he's somewhere far away at his learning this craft or learning Torah, that he loses? Says the Gemara, Misayei l'Rav Huna. So this question supports the statement of Rav Huna, because the Amar Rav Huna, he had said, Berchas Habayis Beruba, the blessing of the house is in the multitudes. Meaning, had he been living with the rest of the brothers, so that would cause more blessings to come because of him. Now that he's away, it's causing a loss to the house, and therefore they're not responsible to feed him. Now, that the Gemara asks, but why? Why does he totally lose out? Velais vulei, let them give him at least a smaller portion of sustenance and diminish from his rights, lefi, according to the lacking of the Birchas Abayis, of the blessing in the house, that's because of him, that he's not living with them. But they're not losing everything because of him. He should still have rights to somewhat of the Mezainis, which the Gemara answers, Hachinami, you're right. He does get Mezainis. He's just not going to get exactly according to what he usually should get because the fact that he moved away is causing a loss, and therefore that loss is going to come off from his allotment of the amount of Mezainis that he could have from the Tfus HaZabayis, from the estate of the father before it's divided. Now the Mishnah said, Chalav and Nisrape, if one of these brothers becomes ill and he heals himself, Nisrape Mishalatzma, that healing, that doctor bills will not come out of the Tvus Abayis, it will have to be paid from his own money. Now, so the Gemara qualifies this halacha, Sholach Rav Mishmeder Balah, Leishanu El Shechala Bepshir. We only learned this halacha if he became sick due to his own negligence. So that's his own fault. Similar like we said, when it's his own profit, he gets himself. Here it's his own negligence, therefore the doctor bills he has to pay for himself. But if it's something that happened due to beyond his control, then the Nisrapim and Emtza, then the doctor bills are paid, just like all the other expenses of the orphans, from the Tvus Abayis, from the father's estate. So the Gemara says, what's the case of someone that became sick due to negligence? Reb Chanina says, everything is in the hand of heaven, which is everything is destined besides certain things like a person's dear Shemaim. So in this regard, we're talking about things that happen to a person, everything is in the hands of heaven. Chutz, except, and he quotes the terminology of the Pasuk, mitzinim, from the cold and the frost, which are pachim, which is a trap and a stumbling block for someone that's not careful. Shnei, like it says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh. A trap of cold is in the path of the crooked, meaning to say because a person has the ability to protect himself from the cold. If he dresses accordingly and he keeps himself out of cold areas, some say actually a tzinim pachim means cold and hot, but it means climate, temperature. Someone who protects his soul will distance himself from the elements. So it's regarding someone that wasn't careful in going out into the freezing cold or the boiling hot, and he wasn't careful. That's someone that was considered a pshia. If he became sick because of that, that is something that will not come out of tefus abayis, but rather he'll have to pay for those expenses by himself. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of these brothers that are still shearing from the father's estate, certain halachas that apply to that. So the Mishnah says, regarding certain brothers, that they were made shushbinim during when the father was still alive. And that was that the father had sent one of his sons to go rejoice with a certain chasim, with a groom, and he sent with him gifts, which that was the custom of shushbinis, that they would take gifts to rejoice at the chuppah of their friend and eat with him. Now, the custom that was, that then the one who was the chasim would reciprocate when the other one who had sent him the gifts, when he would get married, he would reciprocate. As the Gemara brings later on, next daf, a brisa, that there are five halachas said by shushbinis, and one of them is the reciprocation of that gift. Now the word shushbinis is, as Rashbam says, we find in Shmuel Beis, Reya David, we find by the term of friend, which the Targum is shushbina de David. So it's terminology of friendship. So if one of the sons was sent by the father to his friend, who Achasna was getting married, with gifts, so the halacha is, now that the father is dead, and now this boy is getting married, chazra shushbinis, so when this son, he now is getting married after the father's death, and now his friend, who is already married, a younger man, and he's going bringing back the gifts, so that is chazra le'emtza. That's coming back, and he's paying it back, and he's bringing all this stuff, that gets shared by all the brothers, not by the one who's getting married to go back to himself. And the reason for this is shushbinis nigvis bevesen, because shushbinis, this reciprocation of the gift that's given to the chasen that then he has to pay back to his friend who had originally given to him, is something that's collectible in court like a loan of their father, almost like a debt that's owed by their father. It's a loan, which, as the Gemara explains this, that's why it could be collected in court just like a loan. So therefore, since it's something that's owed to the father, it's a tefus abayis type of thing, which, as we said, that's something that's shared by all the brothers. But if someone sent to his friend of his, when his father was still alive, jugs of wine or jugs of oil, not at a chuppah, or even if it's at a chuppah, but he didn't go to eat there and rejoice with him by his chuppah, so that was not done then through the medium of shushbinis, rather it was just a gift and kindness that he did to that chassan, so then the ain nigvim bebezin, that's not something that can be collected in the courts, because not in the prism of shushbinis. It was just an act of kindness, and therefore, actually, when now if that would be given back to this chassan, then since it's not shushbinis, it would go to him and would not be shared by all the brothers. Now, the Gemara asked them the halach of our mission of Rimini. The Gemara asked a contradiction from the following brisa. The brisa says, "Shalach le'aviv shushbinis." If the father sent a shushbinis, in other words, he sent through one of the sons for the purposes of this son to go eat and rejoice with a certain chassan that was getting married. Now, the significance of this is because later on the Gemara is going to differentiate between if the father himself sent a shushbinis or if the father sent this specific son to do this shushbinis. So the Brais is saying, he sent this son, shalach loy of shushbinis, sent this son, I want you to go ahead and do the shushbinis, that guy's getting married, I want you to go ahead and rejoice with him and bring the gift. And says the Brais, so when it gets paid back, as we said, that's the halacha of shushbinis, as we'll see in the next daf, chizeres loy, says the Brais, it gets paid back to that son, and not to the middle amongst all the brothers, as our Mishnah taught it, and therefore that's a contradiction to the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, moreover, is because the Tana of this Braisa holds that since the father specifically sent the Sheshbinis through this son, he wants that it's for this son alone that the Sheshbinis should be paid back to, and not to the other sons. Now, the Braisa continues with another halacha, Nishtalcha la'aviv Sheshbinis. If, when the father was alive, Sheshbinis was sent to him by someone else, so Kishi Chizeris, when that other person who had sent to the father is getting married and has to be paid back, but the father is not alive anymore, Chizeris mina emtza, has to be paid back by all the brothers, because there's a mitzvah on the orphans to pay back their father's debt. As we said, Sheshbinis is a debt, and since the father had been given it, when his friend gets married after he's dead, his children have to pay up that debt. But one thing is, the first halacha of the Braisa contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah. When the father had sent Sheshbinis through his son when he was alive, and it's getting paid back to that son when he's getting married, our Mishnah said that it gets shared by all the brothers, and the Braisa says it goes back only to that son. So the Gemara gives three answers. Amr Ba'asi, Amr Bi'echanan. First, Ba'asi says the name of Bi'echanan. Ki t'nan namim asni'in. You're right, when the halacha of our Mishnah taught its halacha, it was nishtalcha la'aviv t'nan. It was similar to the second halacha of the Braisa, not like the first halacha. Although a simple reading of the Mishnah does not sound like that. It's talking about where it was sent to the father when he was alive. As the Gemara will shortly explain, so although the words in the Mishnah say v'chizeres le'emtza, to the contrary, we're going to explain that it actually means chizeres min ha'emtza. So it's talking about that when the father was alive, it's not that he had sent one of his sons to someone else, and that now it's being paid back after he's dead. To the contrary, the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about where when the father was alive, they were sent to him. Then when he's dead and that friend of his is getting married, has to be paid back from him. So that's okay. That's exactly like the Braisa. You're right that if we're sent through one son and then he would get married now, it would only get paid back to that son. But here we're talking about that it was nishtalcha le'aviv, not from the father when he was alive. Now that the Gemara asks, which is the grammar of the Mishnah, a few different questions, but v'achin sha'asu miktsasin shreshbinis k'tani. But our Mishnah taught that there were brothers that had done shreshbinis when the father was still alive. It sounds like that it was going from the father to someone else, and now it's getting paid back to the family, not from the family. And that says the Gemara. Tanei l'miktsasin. Read it. Not that there were brothers that it was done from them shreshbinis, but rather to them, to some of them, meaning when the father was alive, someone had sent gifts to them, and now it's owed from the family back to them. Now that the Gemara still asks, but v'chazer shreshbinis k'tani. But the words in the Mishnah are that now the shreshbinis is being paid back. Where if the way we're describing it is not should be paid back to them, it should actually be from them to that other person. And that says the Gemara hachikam. No, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Chazra ligvais, if now after the father's dead, it's going back to be collected, the shreshbinis, nigvas me'emtza, that's what the Mishnah is saying, it should be collected from the middle. So therefore, the way Rabbi Yochanan is answering the contradiction is, you're right, if the father had sent the shreshbinis through one of his sons to someone else when he was alive and now he's dead, the Tana of our Mishnah would agree to the Braisa that it would be returned only to that son. The halacha of the Mishnah, however, is actually like the second halacha of the Braisa, which is actually it was given to the father when he was alive, now he's dead, that's collected from the middle. And therefore, that's not contradiction. But Rabbi Asi himself says, the first one was him in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he himself says that actually the halacha of the Mishnah is as it was taught, which is that the father sent one of his sons as shreshbinis to other people. Now he's dead. And now when it's being returned to that son who's getting married now after his father's dead, the Mishnah said it's going to be returned to the middle. Now, although the Braisa said that when it's being returned, it's going to be returned only to that son, says Rabbi Asi, look, Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Why? Because Ka'an, over here in the halacha of the Mishnah, is told by Bistam, where he sent, unspecified, through one of his sons, and he did not specify that it's with the intention that he's specifically sending this son to that person who's getting married. That's why, when now that child's getting married after the father's dead, it's going to be returned to the middle, because it wasn't specifically that child, it was just one of his kids. And therefore is really part of the family in contrast to that child. But Khan over here in the halacha of the Braisa was talking about b'mefarish. When he specified that the shreshbinis should be sent through that son and therefore should be then returned to that son. So therefore, yeah, when it's being returned, it's going to be returned to that son and not to the middle. As the Gemara says, the Rabbi says, could you tell, like, learn the Braisa, this differentiation. Shalach le'aviv shreshbinis, if the father sent through him a shreshbinus. In other words, the father specifically gave this son money and said, I want you to go ahead and be shreshbinus at that person's chuppah. When it's returned, meaning when this son gets married, it's returned only to that son. But shalach aviv shreshbinus stam, this is what we referred to before when it's specifically that, and that's the deek Ravasi making in the Braisa, which we said shalach loy aviv shreshbinus. That's if he's the only one. But if shalach aviv shreshbinus stam, but if the father had just sent unspecified, he didn't say specifically which one of his sons, it's just he wanted to send someone. So although he ends up picking one of his sons to do that agency, but kishe chizeres, when it's being returned, then it doesn't get returned to that son itself when he gets married. Rather, chizeres lamza gets returned to the middle. It was really a family thing in contrast to specifically this child. And that was the second interpretation. Shmulam, he gives a third resolution, and he says that actually the halacha is as it was taught in the Braisa, that if the father sends the shreshbinus to one of his sons, it gets returned specifically to that one son. Now, hacha, however, here in the halacha of the Mishnah, which says that it gets returned to the middle and not just to that son, that explains Shmuel is talking about a specific type of a case. It's b'yav maskinan. We're talking about that there's a yav. In other words, that the son who was originally sent to do shreshbinus by the father actually now is dead. Now, the original one who had gotten married wants to return the shreshbinus favor, which is obligated. It's just that the one who had sent it to him, that son is dead. Now, but the brother of the one who died was meyabim, that brother's wife. Meaning, because this guy had gotten married, so he wanted to pay him back. But by the time he got around to giving him the gift, because he got married, he, as the Gemara explained, when is this exactly? Because usually it's given at the time of the chuppah. But the guy had already died. But then his brother was meyabim, his wife. Now, the Torah says, the yakum hashem achav l'nachla, the brother who does yibum, takes over the inheritance of the brother who passed away. So the law should really be that the shreshbinus that's being paid back to that one who just got married, but now he's dead, so he can't pay back them, should go to his brother who's meyabim, his wife. However, that would be the case had the Torah not called the yavam a bechir. As the pasuk says, v'hoya bechir, which the Gemara dashes elsewhere, that we consider the yavam in laws as a bechir. So, therefore, says Shmuel, she'ein enoitl baro k'bemuchzik, that just like we say the halacha is that a firstborn does not take a double portion in the father's inheritance in regards to, which he usually does, if it's something that's ra'u, something that's fit to come, meaning something that's owed to the father, but he's not in possession of it when the father dies. So therefore, the yavam also has that same halacha. Say also, where this money is owed to the person who just died, which the yavam is taking over, but it's not, he was not in possession of it when he died. It's something that's fit to come to him. So therefore, that shreshbinus which is being paid back, says our Mishnah, is going to be paid back to the middle to all the brothers. You're right. If that brother would be alive, then it's like the Braisa Sishmol. It would be paid back just to that brother. But here the brother died, so he couldn't pay back the shreshbinus. But then someone was in the Yavim. So the Yavim should get it. But no, he's like a Bechir, which only gets when it's Muchzik, not Ro. So who does it get paid back to? It gets paid back to all the brothers. And therefore, that doesn't contradict the halacha of the Braisa. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this halacha, Mechlal, the idach, but the inference is that that other person, the one that was originally sent him the shreshbinus, through this son who passed away, that however, that he has to be Meshalim, that he has to pay back. We're just saying that when he's paying back the shreshbinus, he can't pay back because the guy he's supposed to pay back is dead. So we said that he has to pay back to all the other brothers, meaning those who are inheriting the one who passed away, and we say that the Yavim who's taking over that role does not take it himself. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, why does he have to actually pay back at all, the way Shmuel is giving this interpretation? But Lema, he should be allowed to say, Tenuli shreshbini ve'esmachimai, give me my friend, the one that originally did shreshbinis to me, and I'll rejoice with him, and I'll eat at his chuppah, like he rejoiced and ate at my chuppah. Now, but since he's dead, so he should be able to say, I don't have to pay back the shreshbinus at all, because that was the custom of the shreshbinus, where you would bring a gift and eat together with that person who you did this partnership to eat at his chasna, just like he did by you. As the Gemara asks, so why? How is Shmuel's interpretation even valid? Yes, okay, we understand how you're saying that although usually it's payback to that exact son, but the Mishnah who says Le'emtza is because we're talking about that guy himself died and the Yavim takes over and he doesn't take over by something that's Ro, which was what the Sheshbinus is, so it gets shared by the older brothers. But why should that Sheshbin even have to pay back, which what you're saying is shared by all the brothers? Because Mili Tanya didn't we learn the Braisa as follows. Malkum Shenogu L'Hachzik Kedushin, in the place where the custom is, that the Kedushin, let's say the ring which is used as Kedushin, if the woman passes away after the Kedushin, which in Talmudic times it was actually like a year difference from the time of, we do it all at the same time of the Chuppah, but it was done, there was a Kedushin and then it was a Nisuin 12 months later. If the woman passed away in that interim, there were certain places that the custom was that they would give back the Kedushin. They would give the ring back to the Chassan if the woman passed away. So then Machzirin, so then Allah says you have to give it back. Malkum Shenogu Shulay Lahachzir, if it's a place of the custom is that it's not to give back, so then Machzirin, then you don't give back, it depends on the Minigah Malkum. Now, the Amr of Yisrael bar Abba Amr Ukva Amr Shmuel, he qualifies this halacha. However, Lo Yishanu Elish Meisahi. But this halacha was only said if she passed away. Avol Meis Hu Emachzin. But if the Chassan passed away during the time of the engagement, from the ring till the chuppah, then you don't have to give it back. My time, what's the reason? Because the Chayli Hisha time is she could say, and this is the basis of what the Gemara's question is, as we continue on top of Kuf Mem Heim and Aleph. Tenuli bali ve'as machimoy, give me my husband, and I'll rejoice with him. In other words, I'm ready to fulfill the stipulation of the Kedushin of the ring which was given to me, which is to go on to the next stage, which is Nisuin, to get married, and therefore the problem of not fulfilling these obligations is not with me, it's because he's dead. And therefore I don't have to lose the ring. The only reason why there are certain customs that the Kala's family lose the ring is if she's dead, and therefore their fault, and therefore in some place they have to give it back. Well, that asked the Gemara, if that's the case, so here regarding the Shushbinis, you should be able to say the same thing. Let the Shushbin say, this is not my fault, I'm ready to fulfill my obligations. But the obligations is to rejoice with the Shushbin himself. So I'm ready to rejoice with him, and therefore since I can't because he's dead, and someone else like took over the marriage, so okay, so there are Yerushim of him, but he's not around, and therefore I don't have to fulfill my stipulations in the first place. How do we understand Shmuel's halacha that that's the case of the Mishnah, where then it's Chazeres L'Emtza? That in Rav Yisiv explains that in general, you're right, we say that he could make such a claim, give me my Shushbini, and I want to rejoice with him, as was asked by the Gemara. But Hachem HaYiskin, to hear what we're talking about is K'gun Shesamachimoy. We're talking about that he really did rejoice with the one, his friend who passed away, at his chuppah, with that one who is obligated to return Shushbinis to. And he rejoiced with him for Zayin Yimei Mishnah for the entire 7 days of Sheva Brachas. And therefore, it was at that point that automatically the Shushbin was obligated to pay him back, after that he rejoiced with him. It's just that V'lehispik L'pari Achameis. He did not get an opportunity to pay him back before his friend, right then at the end of Sheva Brachas, passed away. And it was at that point that his brother did Yibum to the wife because he died without any children. And that Shushbinis, which is owed now to the person that was his friend, but now he's dead, so he has to give it to his Yerushim, those inherit him. And but that owing is not Muchzik yet by the one who passed away. Rather, it's called Ru'uya, which is fit to be owed to him. That's something that the Yavim does not take over, as just like a Bechor does not take the portion by Ru'uya as he does by Muchzik, and therefore that's what the Allah of the Mishnah was talking about, that's returned to the middle, meaning by all the brothers who inherit this brother. Now, the reason for this is because, as Rashbam says, it was normal that the way that they would do the Shushbinis would be that the friend would eat by his friend's chasna, and only after the Sheva Brachas would he then bring the gift. That makes sense, the case of the Gemara, where he did rejoice with him. And therefore the obligation was there, and that's the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah, where since there is that obligation, but now the guy's dead, so therefore you can't return it to him, so you would think to return to the Yavim. That's what saying, no, the Yavim does not take that part of the inheritance, just like a Bechor would not take Ro, and that's why it's a Yamsa. But you're right, if the guy was alive, then it's like the Halacha of the Braisa says Shmuel for the third resolution of the Gemara's question, it would go only to that child and not to any of the other brothers.